Before we start, I have to confess, this passage is on prayer. I'm a terrible prayer. I just have to be honest about that. I'm a terrible prayer. I know there's many of you here in this church, and you are prayer warriors, and you pray like for hours. And praise God, I'm thankful for you. You are an encouragement to me. You are a challenge to me. I'm thankful for that. But that is so not me. My prayer is the Hail Mary prayer, right? Not that I pray to Mary, but I throw up a Hail Mary, like, Lord, catch this prayer, right? As I'm going somewhere, like, Lord, make this work out. You know, help this work out as I go. You know, anyone else do that? Is it just me? Just your pastor? That's good. Okay, a few of you. Good. You know, it's so hard. I just, and I know this, and I've known this my whole life, and it's like to preach on prayer is just like, I feel like really hypocritical today doing that. So just know whatever I'm preaching is me. I'm speaking to myself, right? I need to do this as well. You know, last year I was really kind of convinced. I was like, I got to, you know, I want to pray. You know, I want to pray. And I've always thought in the mindset that you pray and then you go do the work of God, right? And so you pray, then you go. But then I read a book last year, and I read this year another book that Mary and Larry gave me. That says, no, praying is the work of God. It is the work of God. And so, like, I'm not going to Turkey to minister with Carol Shank, right? So I better pray. I'm going to pray with her. Pray for her. Pray for her ministry. That is the work of God. Praying for that ministry. And so if praying is the work of God, then I want to get to work for God, right? And thank God that he's patient with us. Thank God he's patient with us, you know. Finally, 18 years into being a Christian, I can finally start to pray. You know, it's like, seems silly to say that, but God is gracious. He's slow to anger and long-suffering with us, and I'm thankful for that. And as I studied Luke 11, it's like, man, what Jesus is pulling out and teaching his disciples to pray, it's like, I don't do any of this. I don't do any of this. And what he pulls out is so rich in how Jesus leads his disciples and us to pray. I was just really challenged by this, and I hope you're challenged by this as well today in your own prayer life as we look at it together. So let me pray before we start. Lord, thank you. Jesus, thank you for your patience with us, for your grace and your mercy. Lord, help us as we look at Luke chapter 11. May your spirit be our teacher today. Thank you for your kindness to us that leads to repentance, Lord. May we all seek your face together in your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus, in chapter 11, if you want to join with me, page 1480, Jesus is on one of his regular prayer trips. He's going off to pray somewhere, and the disciples come to him, and they say, Jesus, teach us how to pray like John's disciples. They have a prayer. And so in that time, if you were a disciple of somebody, you had an identifying prayer. This was a prayer that identified you as so-and-so's disciple. Kind of like today, we have a fight song for our college, whatever it is, right? If you sing this fight song, you know that you went to Michigan or Michigan State or Purdue University. Just to throw that out there. Different fight songs that you got. They had different identifying prayers. And so the disciples come to Jesus, and apparently John's disciples had some sort of prayer because they had an identifying prayer. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray, in verse 1. Just as John taught his disciples. So they're saying, Jesus, give us a prayer to pray that identifies that we are one of your disciples. We want to be known as your disciples. And amazingly enough, Jesus actually answers them with like a direct answer, which almost never happens. He usually gives some sort of parable, or he's like, that's a foolish question. Let me tell you why. And all these. No, he's like, all right, you want to know how to pray? Here's how you pray. Here's how you pray. And he gives this prayer. It's been called the Lord's Prayer, the Believer's Prayer. We could call it the Disciples' Prayer. We know from early church writing that they recited this prayer after baptism, that once you were baptized, you recited this prayer to identify you're in the kingdom. After communion, like we do, they said this prayer together. It's not just a comforting prayer. This prayer is a declaration that I am a disciple of Jesus. I belong to Jesus. And so it's not actually meant for anybody to pray this prayer. Like, this is a prayer designed for the disciples of Jesus to pray and say, I'm identifying as a follower of Christ. And so Jesus says, verse 2, when you pray, literally means whenever you are praying, whenever you are in the process of praying, whenever you find yourself in that moment of prayer, This is how you pray. Five parts. Part one, he starts with the word Father. Father. Only the disciples of Jesus and Jesus himself could use the title of Father in prayer. Because Jesus is the only Son of God. God is the Father, and we become a family with Jesus when we join in Jesus, his life and death. And so we can call God our Father. So part one of the prayer is just one word, Father, Father. But it's important because it reminds us that when we pray, we're not praying to a far-off God that's distant, that we have to summon to ourselves, but we're praying to our Father who loves us and he knows us and he cares for us. And so putting aside, I know many of us, we have broken understandings of fathers. You know, our fathers may have hurt us or we're no good or we're harmful fathers or mothers. In that way, putting that aside, we have a God who is a Father who is good. He's a loving God. He loves us deeply. He cares for us. He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear from us as we seek him. And that's how Jesus starts. He says, Father, acknowledge your Father. When you pray, remember you are praying to your Father. You're not just praying to the God of all the universe, though you are. You're praying to your Father. So part two, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Those things go together in parallel. Both of these are forward-looking events. They're looking forward to the time when God's name will be held holy on earth, when he is going to be here. If you were with us on Ash Wednesday, we talked about the day of the Lord, when Jesus is going to return and come back. And that's what we're looking forward to. That's the heart of the declaration of the kingdom of God. If we're not looking forward to the day when Jesus comes back, when he comes to fix the wrongs and fix injustice, then our view of salvation is just too small. Salvation is not just about me. It's about God coming back to this earth to restore the broken things, fix the broken things. So Jesus begins his prayer, acknowledge your Father and let him know you're looking forward to seeing him. That's what we're saying when we pray that. I look forward to seeing you, my Father. I want to be with you, Father. And if you, many of you probably have traveled for work or whatever, different events or for leisure, and you've been separated from your spouse or your children, and you talk on the phone, what do you say? Can't wait to see you, right? The kids, it's always fun to talk to the kids, and your wife, of course, but to talk to your kids, right? Hey, we miss you, Dad. Bring us something fun, blah, blah, blah. You're like, yeah, I can't wait to see you again. That's what he's saying here. Your kingdom come. We want to see you. We can't wait to see you, God. I can't wait to see you. I long to see you. Is that something that you long for in your prayers? To see God, to see Jesus. We're going to do a little remix of the Lord's Prayer. So here's the first two parts. My Father who loves me, I desperately long to see you. That's what he's saying. When he says, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. My Father who loves me, I desperately long to see you. Part three, give us each day our daily bread. Daily bread is part of something bigger. So, Lord, give me what I need for the day. Give me have my daily needs met. I'll admit, this is usually where I jump into prayer, right? Many of us probably too, right? We go to God because we got a need. Let me jump in at part three. Lord, help me with my need today. And there's nothing wrong with that. We should absolutely take our needs to God. Absolutely we should, of course. But Jesus is praying, and he says, hold on, first you acknowledge your Father who loves you, and then you tell him you're longing to see him and his kingdom come on this earth, and then you say, Lord, provide for me. So in that context, provide for me so that I can see your kingdom come. Provide for me so that I can be a part of your kingdom and what you're doing in this world. Your daily bread is not just praying that you'll hit the numbers that day, right? It's not praying that, you know, just whatever. It's praying, Lord, meet my needs today so I can serve you. Meet my needs today so I can take that time and serve you and your kingdom. In a book I was given called Extreme Prayer, it says this, praying in Jesus' name doesn't mean asking for a Ferrari. It means praying prayers that advance his plans for the earth. In other words, proclaiming kingdom of God-oriented prayers. We're praying, we want to pray to advance the kingdom of God. So Lord, give me my daily bread so that I can get to work advancing your kingdom, that I can go out there and tell people about you. There's a gospel out there. It's a false gospel. It's a wrong gospel. It says, if you pray earnestly enough to God, he'll give you all the desires of your heart, including the desire to be rich and be wealthy. And it's only your fault if you aren't rich like David or Solomon because you don't have enough faith. Right? That's a false gospel. In fact, Scripture gives us the exact opposite. What Jesus is saying here in Give Me My Daily Bread, he's saying, give me enough only for today so that tomorrow I have to rely on you again. He's saying, give me enough only for today so that tomorrow I have to rely on you again. See the difference between give me enough for today? He's saying, don't give me too much. Just give me enough for this day so that tomorrow I can come to you again. It's actually echoes of Proverbs chapter 30. Let me read that for you. The Proverbs tradition. Verses 8 and 9. The writer says, keep falsehood and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. He says, neither poverty nor riches. Give me enough only for today so that tomorrow I have to come to you again, that I can rely on you again tomorrow. There's something to that, I think, right? That give me what I need, and each day I will come to you again. So we get this. My Father who loves me, I desperately long to see you. Give me enough for today so I can serve you. Give me enough for today so I can follow you, I can love you, I can serve you today. Part 4, forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Jesus shows the importance of regularly confessing our sin before God. It's not because we lose our salvation if we don't, but it's so we stay in right relationship. In fact, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, Scripture says. But it's this confession that we stay in right relationship. Imagine if you're in a room with your brothers and sisters and you have something against someone in the room, you need to confess that to stay in good and right relationship. You don't stop being their brother and sister if you don't confess it, but it does harm your relationship with them. So regular confession is a part of this prayer. But it also ties into this, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, that we seek forgiveness as we're able to forgive, as we're able to forgive. Like Jeff said last week, our attitude toward those in need is shaped by how our Father has treated us when we are in need. So we freely give, and so we can freely give to others. We freely receive, so we can freely give to others. In that same way, we have been freely forgiven. He doesn't ask, do you deserve this forgiveness? No, the answer is no, we don't deserve this forgiveness. But he freely forgives, and so we can freely forgive. Even when you'd rather be mad, even when you'd rather hold it over them, forgive me, Lord, as I forgive those who've sinned against me. My Father who loves me, I desperately long to see you. Give me enough for today so I can serve you. Help me forgive others with the same freedom that you have forgiven me. And part 5, and lead us not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Satan prowls like a roaring lion. Right? He wants to come and destroy the work of God in this world. He wants to destroy what Jesus is building, his church and his people. And we need the protection of the Holy Spirit against the evil one to flee from the temptations that are to come, to flee from the evil one. Any of you play sports? A few of you? I see some young guys. Good. You play sports. Excellent. Good. Basketball? Football? Baseball. Oh, baseball, even better. Let's do that. Okay, let's say baseball. Let's say you're on a baseball team. You're practicing baseball. You're hitting the ball, right? You go to you practice. You got your pitchers practicing. Everyone's practicing there. And then you show up for the game. You get up to the game. You walk onto the field, and you look out, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. There's another team here. Where is there another team here? I thought we were just practicing against ourselves, right? Would that make sense? No, right? Right. I mean, that's ridiculous, right? Or if you're playing basketball, if you just go through drills but never actually played against anyone, and you show up to the court and you're like, oh, wait a minute, who's this other team here? Like, what is this about? We were just practicing together. When you practice, you know you're practicing because you have someone who is opposing what you're trying to do. And that's the same thing that happens in this kingdom. There is one that is trying to oppose what we are trying to do. And so we shouldn't be surprised when we're trying to live out this calling for the kingdom of God and we face opposition. And Jesus says, pray against the evil one. Pray against him that he would be bound up. Because he's actively working, trying to steal, to kill, and destroy. So continually be praying against that evil one, that he may be bound up and have no dominion on the places that I'm going to send you and where you're going to go. So here's the last part of the remix. My Father who loves me. So Jesus, they come to Jesus and they teach us how to pray. He says this, my Father who loves me, I desperately long to see you. Give me enough for today so I can serve you. Help me forgive others with the same freedom that you have forgiven me, and protect me from the one who tries to harm me. Amen. That's the Lord's Prayer in a nutshell. And so that's how we pray. Now, what about the manner of prayer? How often do we pray? And now he gives his parable. I mean, it's Jesus. He's got to give a parable. He says this. Imagine you're in your house. All the kids are tucked in. It's 11 o'clock at night. Your spouse is asleep, and you get this knock on the door. Somebody's saying, hey, give me some bread. I need bread. Give me 3 loaves of bread for tonight. And you're like, oh, somebody's knocking at the door. You know, I got my slippers on. And then you look out the window. It's like, oh, even worse, it's somebody I know. So like now I have to open the door, right? But this isn't 2019. This is like the year 19, right? And so you're all sleeping in one room together on mats, right? So if this homeowner were to open the door, he would actually disturb everyone in the house to let this guest in. And you don't have bread left over from the day because it's spoiled. And so at 11 o'clock at night, if your neighbor comes asking for bread, guess what you got to do? You got to make bread from scratch. Right? And so maybe now we understand why this homeowner was a little reticent in opening this door. He's like, I don't know, you know. But Jesus says this. Let me just read it again. Verse 8. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. That's the best translation the NIV's ever done, right? I mean, it's only in this translation because other translations don't have this, but it nails exactly what Jesus is talking about. The word shameless, usually it's got negative connotations. We're not talking about anything negative today. It's positive. Shameless means having no care what anyone else thinks about what you're doing. Like, I don't care. I'm just praying to you, Father. Like, I'm just praying. I'm seeking you out continually, and I don't care how foolish I look. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm praying to you. And audacity, continually doing the same thing over and over and over again. So first he gives them that prayer. He says, this is how you pray, and here's how else you are to pray. You're to pray without caring about what anybody else thinks and continually. Keep praying. Pray, pray, pray. Be persistent in your prayer. Ask, seek, and knock. He gives us 3 words in parallel. Ask, seek, and knock. Keep praying. Pray like you don't care what anyone else is thinking. And keep praying to your Father who loves you, who wants to hear from you. Be relentless. Be passionate. Name your prayer specifically as you are praying. Continually come to him in prayer. You notice this guest, when he comes, he knocks on the door. He doesn't say, give me some food. He says, give me 3 loaves of bread. He knows what he needs. So he goes. He prays specifically. Right? So in that moment, pray specifically for what you need. You know, I've been really convicted of this. Maybe you've done this. Like, I want to go out. Let's say I'm going to go walk the street, share the gospel. And I throw my Hail Mary prayer up, Lord. Right? It's like, all right, Lord, use me today. All right? And I go around the block, and I don't talk to anyone. And I say, what do I say? Well, I guess God didn't need to use me today. All right? I got off the hook today. But no, that's ridiculous. What if I say, Lord, give me one person I can comfort on my walk today? Right, specifically, give me 2 people I can share the gospel with today. Give me 1 person that I can minister to today. Right, specifics. Give me 3 loaves of bread. That's what I need. That's exactly specifically what I need. And be relentless in it. Shameless audacity, continually in prayer. The image I get here is like someone coming up and grabbing somebody by the collar. And like, listen to me. Listen to this prayer. You need to hear my prayer. I need you to hear what I'm saying. And so why does Jesus tell us to pray like that? Because we have a good Father who hears our cries, right? Our Father is not like this homeowner who doesn't want to open his door, okay? He's better than that. And in another book, he talks about a widow who goes to petition a judge, this heartless judge. And the judge finally gives in because the widow keeps at it, shameless audacity. And then he says, God is not like that heartless judge. You have a good Father who loves you. And continually pray to him. Keep knocking on that door. Keep coming to him in prayer. Who, if your son is going to ask you for a plate of eggs for breakfast, you're going to give him a plate of scorpions? No, right? You're not going to do that. But our Father loves us. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. One commentator said this: we need to be persistent in our prayers because our persistence is a sign that we are relying on God. And so when the prayer is answered finally, the only one that we can give the glory to is God. Makes sense to me, right? Shameless audacity, right? No point in my life could I say I've ever characterized my prayer life with shameless audacity. No. But I want to. I want to try, right? I want to try. I want to seek the Lord like that. I want to seek the Lord like that. And lastly, he says this: what's the greatest gift? The Holy Spirit, right? Salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he says, anyone who asks for the Holy Spirit, surely your good Father is going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's not going to withhold that from you. The gift of the Spirit empowers you to do all these things I'm calling you to do. We cannot do it in our own power. It is only by the Holy Spirit working in us and through us that we're able to do these things. So, to close, what does a prayer of shameless audacity look like for Messiah Church? What does a prayer of shameless audacity look like for our church? I think as we come before God and look at this prayer, we have to understand a couple things. First, that God, our Father, loves his children deeply. He longs to give us good gifts. He longs for conversation with us. He longs to have a relationship with us. And maybe we're afraid to come to our Father because we've had bad fathers in the past or those who have hurt us. But that's not who God is. He calls you to himself. He's a good, good Father who loves you deeply. He's the Father of compassion and love and mercy and grace and shares all these things freely with his people and gives the Holy Spirit freely to all who ask. Before we do any sort of application, we got to understand that, right? We need to sit in the love of our Father and know that we are loved by him. And because we have this good Father, second thing, we got to pursue him with shameless audacity. We got to pray. We got to seek his face shamelessly, without regard of anybody else thinks, without concern about what the world thinks of this. We need to pursue him. And listen, I'm going to call you all out. Show up to this prayer meeting. This is a time of prayer. There's like five of us here. Come to this prayer meeting on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. Come and pray with us that we may pray for vitality and pray for revival in this church. There's no reason there should be five of us at that prayer meeting. Come on Tuesday at 7 o'clock and pray with us with shameless audacity and expectation that God is going to show up in our midst, specifically naming what we want and specifically naming what we want to see in our church and in our midst, not for our glory, but for the kingdom of God. That's what we need to be doing. See, those who have faith in Christ, our eternity is secure. We have security. And so because we have that security, we can go and freely proclaim this gospel. So let's go freely proclaim, because we have nothing to lose. The Holy Spirit secures our future. Let us go proclaim and spend this life in service to Christ, poured out as a drink offering to him. To not do that is to hoard the gift of eternal life to yourself, assuming there is not enough gift to go around. But there's plenty, because our Father is good. He has many good gifts that he gives his children. And this is the gift, that those who believe in Jesus, that he died on the cross, that he was raised from the dead for the forgiveness of sins, you will be saved. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart. No matter how long you've been away, or how much you've sinned, or how far you've fallen, you have a good Father who wants you to come home to him. Seek your good Father today. My Father who loves me, I desperately long to see you. Give me enough for today so I can serve you. Help me forgive others with the same freedom that you have forgiven me, and protect me from the one who tries to harm me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for being our teacher. Lord, thank you for this prayer. Lord, I want to be shamelessly audacious in prayer. I want to pursue you in prayer. I want that intimacy with you, Lord Jesus. I want that so desperately, Lord. Help me by your Holy Spirit. Help us, help your church by your Holy Spirit to pursue you. Help this church to pray. Help us to pray, Lord. Help us to pray that your kingdom will come, that your will be done, that we will be used, that we will be used for the sake of your kingdom, Lord. Our eternity is secure. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so help us to pour ourselves out in service to you in this life, telling people about you and your love, telling people about your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Give us words to speak. Give us a testimony to share, Lord. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are a good, good, gracious, merciful Father. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.